Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, the executive vice president of Stevens Incorporated on Wall Street, but former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Mary traveled the world with the secretary and witnessed in the rooms all of these posts as they speak out carefully in crisis situations. And that's where we are now. Boris Johnson has arrived in Kiev. Mario Draghi, the prime minister of Italy, has spoken by phone to Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin is making remarks in Moscow. The foreign ministry in Moscow has responded in written form, saying again and again what it said before, and also that we do not negotiate in public. I want to focus on NATO. Mary, you've visited Brussels, you've been in those rooms, you've seen NATO and how it functions. How is it faring now, your opinion? And can it survive these doubts that have been raised about Germany, about France separating itself from NATO, about Mario Draghi separating himself from NATO in direct conversations? Is this the way it's always been, and we're just noticing now that there are fractures?
Well, NATO is one of the better functioning multilateral institutions in terms of the way that its members cooperate with each other and the deployments that's had over the last several years. That being said, multilateral institutions tend to decay over time. They inexorably expand. They suffer mission creep. They get corrupted. They have entrenched interests dig in, just as we've seen, for instance, at many of the United Nations organizations. And that's why they require constant vigilance. And during the Trump years, we'd say a couple of things constantly when we talk about NATO and other multilateral organizations. We'd say we want them to hew to their mission and to serve the interests of the member states that created them. Two very simple rules. To date, NATO has done that, but it's a big organization now, 30 states. And to get unanimity about how to defend against Russian aggression in the East has been hard because you have several members, Germany included, that do not want to surge weapons and supplies into Ukraine. And that's exactly what we should have been doing for months, ever since the buildup started. Never mind the fact that NATO's eastern flank, particularly in Poland, has been left, I wouldn't say largely undefended, but certainly inadequately defended. So I think what you're seeing now is, yes, you're seeing the problems of a larger NATO. You're seeing the disputes between the membership. And you're also seeing the slowness with which this organization is responding. And that should be of grave concern.
The news includes responses between the foreign ministry and the State Department, back and forth. The U.S., I characterize it generally, saying there will be consequences if and when. Moscow saying pretty much that we are under attack by NATO and that you've been advancing your battalions for decades, not just months or years, and that Ukraine is a threat to our citizens, our Russian-speaking citizens in the East. I characterize all this generally because the positions have been completely dug in for weeks now. And I'm not looking to the future, I'm looking to the present. Is this pressure overwhelming for NATO in your measure? Is this unusual, Mary, or has NATO been here before? I mean, we're no longer in the Cold War. We don't have a hotline. We don't think of the days of nuclear weapons being launched. NATO's under a different understanding, a recovery from the pandemic, the European Union with its right now dovish money posture. In other words, there are many things to distract the leaders of these countries besides Ukraine. So how do you measure that it can perform under these conditions? What is the most we can hope for?
NATO will perform to the level that the United States expects it to perform and pressures it to perform. Because ultimately, it's the U.S. that pushes NATO into action. We may not like that. We may wish that there were other nations that would step up and lead, but it's just not how it works. And so to date, the Biden administration has adopted kind of communal approach. They have a tagline, for instance, you know, nothing, you know, for Ukraine without Ukraine, meaning that we're not going to have discussions about Ukraine without including them or briefing them. OK, that's all well and good. But if we really want NATO to beef up and deter Putin on Europe's eastern flank, then, you know, the United States has to force that issue. And I don't see any evidence of that right now. And in terms of, you know, the statements that are coming out of the Kremlin, these are tactics.
Yeah.
You know, Putin knows that what is being said is ridiculous. It's simply an effort to rhetorically put NATO and others on the back foot. And I'd like to reiterate, I've said this on a prior show of yours, John, that the only nation that seems to have wrong-footed Moscow is the United Kingdom. When they released the intelligence that, you know, alleged that Russia was trying to stand up a puppet government in Ukraine, that was really the only time when Russia backpedaled and said, wait a second, you can't say that. That's bad. That's bad information. Fake news. Stop saying that. You know, we need to do more things like that. And I'd also commend the UK for unveiling new legislation this week to cast a bigger sanctions net. London is the physical home, but also financial hub for many Russian oligarchs. And, you know, the threat of taking those homes and that safe haven away for their ill-gotten gains represents a potentially very big blow to Putin. That's a potent weapon, and I commend them for taking those measures.
And Boris Johnson, the prime minister, is in Kyiv. Mary Kissel, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.